And like I said, this is their greatest description. And still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what they don't do. That the ibad rahman, they do not commit shirk. And they are people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely. Only worship Allah. All their worship is directed towards Allah. And this, like I said, you would say, you would minimize this description. This is a description that all the believers have. But you find that the majority of human beings, they are worshiping human beings or statues. Even here in America, the majority of people are worshiping another human. Or even you have people worshiping spirits and statues or what have you. You go to Asia, Africa, Europe, whatever. And it's amazing that few are the people who only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely or alone. So this is their quality. And this is the quality, of course, that we need to be the first one and the one that we strive for hardest. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, of course, major sins. And the first one he starts with in this one verse, he starts with shirk. The ibad ar-Rahman, they only worship ar-Rahman. They only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he begins with this next major abominable sin, and that is, and that they do not kill, or they do not take another life, a life that is forbidden. And if they do so, it's only for a just cause. And inshallah, I don't think we have the Muslims or us, and we have this problem, but this is something that we should hold as abominable, and we should try to stay away from, and that is taking another life. And this is one of the greatest sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this right after he mentions the fact that the ibad ar-Rahman, they do not commit shirk, and they do not kill, or do not murder people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and they wala yaznoon, and they do not commit zina. And this sin, of course, has been belittled, very much so. Even to the point where it is said that this is my prerogative. I mean, I'm doing this, this is in my house. You have nothing. It's not going to affect you. It's looked, people view it as if it's an individual sin and it's something that doesn't affect the whole society. But no doubt, the Muslims view it as something that destroys the community. And if someone is committing this sin, then what's going to stop them from committing other sins? So you have people who, of course, they have, they're committing zina. Then they get this homosexuality. Then, you know, it gets worse and worse and worse. And many of you are surrounded by people who are engaged in these vices. So the ibad ar-Rahman, they also are people who are far, far away from committing this abominable sin. And just to make another point, and that is that this sin, we have to, because of the propaganda that has been spread now, we have to make sure that we hold it as, even though we may be far away from it, but we don't belittle it. Meaning, like someone, he may not drink, but he sees alcohol so much, it's not a problem. One brother's just telling me recently, he never drank in his life, but he was around, when he saw someone drinking in front of him, he felt so bad. He had got this new job and making nice money or whatever. And then he said, it happens all the time now that, no, it's no problem. Even I met another brother who was the same way. He came from overseas, never drank, never probably even, maybe Allah knows best, saw alcohol. Some of his friends used to store alcohol in his refrigerator. After he stayed for a little while going to the university, hey, can I put this in your refrigerator? Oh, go ahead. You lose that that dislike or that hatred for it because you see it so much. And like I said, the propaganda is that this is my choice and I should be able to choose who I sleep with, man or woman or what have you. And like I said, it's looked at as an individual problem, and it's no doubt it's a problem that affects the whole society. And Muslims are people who honestly try to clean up the society, who honestly try to better the community. And this is something that even is seen and testified to in the prisons. Many of the chaplains who have met and non-Muslims say that you guys are clean people and you guys are trying to clean up the prisons and what have you. And not, this is not only inside, but outside the prison as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يُضَاعَفْ, excuse me, يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدَ فِيهِ مُهَانَا. A very scary verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the torment for these people who indulge in these major sins, those people who are not ibad al-Rahman, those who did shirk, those who killed people, those who committed zina, then they will be have their punishment doubled, increased in the hellfire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they will be humiliated and they will abide therein forever in disgrace. These people will be disgraced. Now they are doing their evils now, making all these movies and just openly showing their facade and openly showing their immorality, but and proud and boasting about it. But on the day of judgment, they will be disgraced. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and this is a scary thing, mentions that which the Ibad al-Rahman mentioned earlier, and that is forever and ever disgrace. And you can't, that's perhaps the scariest thing of hellfire. We hear about men chained. We hear about eating from zarqum. We hear about the drinking of boiling hot water till the intestines are split. We hear about all these disgusting things, the intensity of the hellfire. But the one that scares us the most is that it's inseparable, that it lasts forever. And this should also make us stronger dua. We really should want for humanity Islam. I mean, we should want that no one enters this. And this is the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. That he was, and he was described as one who you is trying to hold, like the insects are going towards the light. And they're going towards the fire. And you're trying to keep them back, but they're just coming and you can't do anything about it. I mean, we're trying, and imagine the frustration. Meaning if you're in the position of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you've seen hellfire, you've seen paradise. These people are your relatives. You're trying to save them from hellfire, which is forever. And they're saying, no, you're a liar, you're poor, you're this. That is amazing. I mean, we feel it when we're making da'wah. We're trying to tell these people, straighten up your life. Don't be a loser. No, I'm not a loser. I have this, I have that. Hellfire is real. And not only with the kuffar, the Muslims as well. We're trying to educate them of the seriousness of the hellfire. And you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly mentions the hellfire throughout the Quran. And what's beautiful also, he mentions, it's a balance. You'll see, mention paradise, mention hellfire. Mention paradise, mention hellfire. Mention hope and mentions fear. Because we should have both. If we have only the fear, then many times our ibadah will be corrupted. If we have only hope and we don't have the fear, then likewise our ibadah will be corrupted. But this should be constantly, when we should constantly think about paradise and hellfire. And this is what, of course, the ibadah Rahman, they do. And it's said, and perhaps this is the strongest opinion by the Mufassirin, that the last verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed was وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed his message, the message to humanity. The last verse, according to some Mufassirin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to a prophet was, after everything was sealed, and fear the day that you return back to Allah, and that you will only get or be recompensed for that which you do. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sealing it, now be ready for judgment. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, everything is about, life is about hellfire and paradise. It's not about anything else. When I mean anything else, I mean these are the greatest things. And this is the loser, the one who gets hellfire, and this is the winner, the one who gets paradise. And then, yet more beautiful verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ عَمِلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, except those people who weren't ibad al-Rahman, those people who did all these abominable sins, these horrible things, there's hope for you. That if you make this tawbah, if you change your life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, let me read the verse, except those who repent and believe and do good deeds, for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their sins to good deeds. Now, if you weren't from the ibad al-Rahman, if you were doing these sins, it's okay if you repent and believe and do righteous deeds, then Allah will not only eradicate and erase all those bad things, but He will make them or transfer them into good deeds. I mean, imagine the frustration that Shaytan must get. And it's amazing. We've seen this. For example, even some of the greatest of the companions, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Khalid ibn Walid, many of them fought against the Muslims or even killed Muslims, or the worst of people. And I've seen it several times, like in the prison. People who were, gangbangers, people who were the worst of people. But it's amazing how Islam truly changed their life. Meaning you see no remnants, so no trace of it. And wallahi azeem, a lot of the people who I see in the federal prison, a lot of them I see, I feel that they are much better than me. Perhaps because of the extreme that they're seeing. They really see the reality of the streets. They see the reality. And many of them, of course, had millions. Those drug dealers, they deal with millions easily. They had the bling, as they say. They had the money. They had it all. So it's as if a lot of them, of course, you never want to live like that. But they may have something. They saw something that which I haven't seen. And so you see the iman really takes root. And they become a better person than someone who may have been practicing all their lives. I have seen that very clear. You say, how could someone do this? A lady who was very, very lewd and what have you, then she becomes a Muslim. She covers and sometimes even completely. How do you make that transition? That's extremely difficult. And then be firmer than you. I mean, no doubt this is something amazing. And this happened in the past, happened now, and it will continue to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just talking about punishment now. I mean, He's saying this is the outcome for those who are not the ibad al-Rahman, but there's hope for those people who do not possess these qualities. If they are doing those things that are bad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala previously mentioned, then if they correct their lives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Not only will He forgive them all the bad that you did, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it good. And even we've seen some great scholars of Islam. Many of us don't know their stories. Some of the great scholars of Islam were or had previous lives of being criminals, highway robbers, and what have you. And even some of the du'at now in this country and others, you would never know that they had committed some of the crimes that they have committed. And inshallah, it's not needed to be known, for inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wiped away their sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues by saying, وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. And whoever repents and does righteousness, verily he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with true repentance. So here I just want to mention some of the conditions for repentance. And if we fulfill these conditions, then we will, inshallah, reap these benefits. And we truly see the power of repentance in this verse. And I know of no other verse, perhaps there are, but I don't know of any other verse that mentions this transformation from bad deeds to good deeds.